First of all, thank you to Cheryl Platt for sponsoring tonight's class. I don't think she's on right now, but she's sponsoring in memory of her father, Harold Platt, Tzvi Ben Moshe Zev, Mirz Hashem, our learning should be Le'ili Nishmaso, the elevation of his soul. So, it's actually interesting, what's his name on the Yahrzeit list? Maybe it's next week. I don't see it. Oh, it was earlier this week. Okay. So, when it comes to this week's Parsha, I mentioned this already on Tuesday, the Parsha starts even before any words are spoken, any words are written or said, even before any words, you already have a question. And that is because, that's because there's no spacing in between the Torah. Right? Usually, when it comes to the spacing in the Torah, you have spaces in between every sort of topic or theme, and especially when it comes to a parsha, Chazal is not going to bring to start a new parsha where there's no break. But except for Parshas Vayechi, there's no break in between Vayigash and Vayechi, and the question is why. I had said mistakenly, by the way, on Tuesday, that in our Sifrei Torah, it might start at a new line, but it's not true. Because I lay in this morning and it wasn't in a new line. I didn't realize. Last week, I think, last week I landed on the fast day and that started on a new line. Even though it's in the middle of a column, whatever. The fast day is confusing because you skip a couple columns in the middle of the landing. Either way, Saul knows what I'm talking about. but either way, it starts in the middle of a line. Mamish, like it looks like a regular pasuk. Just you're going from one thing to the next, and there's no break. And the question is why? And Rashi already tells us because the phrase for it is a satum, a stima. It's closed. Listom means to close. Like Raina pointed out on Tuesday, vayistamum plishtim, right? That they closed up the wells of Avram Avinu, and Yitzchak had to redig them. So too, it's closed off. So why is it, what's closed off? So Rashi gives two reasons. On Tuesday we talked about one of them, but today we're going to talk about a different one. The second one, which is more popular, at least in general conventional wisdom, this is the more popular opinion of Rashi. Why is it that the Parsha is closed? Why is it that Vayigash goes seamlessly into Vayechi with no break and no spacing in the Torah? Says Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Legalos Esaketz. Yaakov wanted to give away the secrets of the end of the world. What does that mean? Haketz, the Ketz is the end. What, the end, presumably, when Mashiach's going to come? So asks Rav Simcha Banim, Mipnei Manish Tokik Yaakov Vino Legalos Lebanav Esaketz. What was so important that he felt the need all of a sudden, because he's dying now, that he has to give it away? He's been holding on to the secret. He wants his children to know, but he's going to wait until he's on his deathbed? Why would you take the chance? Just say it beforehand. What brought Yaakov to this recognition that he had to say it all of a sudden? So the truth is, although the Rishon Chabad doesn't connect it, it's really connected to the first reason of Rashi. What was the first reason Rashi told us that the Parsha is really closed off and there's no spacing in between? It's because all of a sudden the Jewish people were going to be closed in, meaning they were basically the Shibud was going to start. Says Rav Simcha Banim, She'im yado es haketz, if he would tell them, or if they knew, yadu es haketz, if they knew the end of days, yoser kal yiyel lahem, laseis es ol hagalos v'yisureha. If they knew the end, if they could see the light at the end of the tunnel, if they knew when they would be redeemed, so then the Shibud itself would be easier. The difficulty might be difficult, but it's even more difficult when you don't know when it's going to end, right? You're just going to end in eternally. You're just always going to be in Shibud Galios in Mitzrayim. You're always going to be slaves. And the Jewish people would have, or did, actually feel this. They never knew when this was going to end. Hundreds of years. I remember one Rav once talking about how the Jewish people talked to each other. After a few generations, what do you know? Your whole life, you're a slave and your father's a slave. you know, and he said, they used to hang up pictures in their houses, you know, like you take up pictures of your grandparents. Yes, this is my Zeta, my Alta Zeta. He used to be a shoemaker. He used to do work in clothing. What would the Jewish people say when they looked at their Zetas on the wall? Oh, this Zeta, he used to carry 3 bricks. This Zeta, he used to carry 10 bricks. All they knew was carrying bricks for years and years and generations. So Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell them when it was all going to end. He wanted to tell them, yes, it's going to be a long time, but you should know at the end, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's this time where it's all going to be over. I read this, and I mamish thought of what we're going through now. I don't know about anybody else, but for the first 7 months of this whole pandemic, from March until just recently, when is this going to end? Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? We have no idea what's going to be. Every day the thing's changing, everything, mutations, this and that. And we had no clue. All of a sudden, the news comes out that there's actually a vaccine and it actually works. So we don't know still when it's going to end. We're still going through it. But at least we know there's an end, right? At least we know. And in that way, it can be mechazik us. It can be mechazik us to at least know we should push a little further, right? Of all times to sort of give up. That it would not be now because we know the end is in sight. A few months, I was just talking to somebody else today from the shul. And I said, you know, we were talking like, what's our goal? What's our end point? Are we thinking Pesach? We could focus on Geula? Are we thinking about, you know, Matan Torah, right? Re-accepting Yiddishkeit, right? There are a lot of goals that we could set. But we know that hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, that the end is in sight, and that makes it easier for us. That's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to do. That's what Rashi says. Yaakov Avinu was trying to give away the ending. Not because he felt the need that they have to know what date Mashiach's going to come, but because it would have been easier to go through the galus. It would have been easier to go through the shibud if they would have known the light at the end of the tunnel. Comes the Sfas Emes and adds on to Reb Simcha Banim, his grand Rebbe's idea, and he says, Lama parsha zu stuma, shibikish l'galus esakets, v'lama nistamimen. So wait a second. If that was such a good idea, so why did it get closed off? Why didn't Hashem allow Yaakov to actually say it? Ki hagalos ba l'marek avonoseim shel Yisrael, kedei lahitivam b'achrona. Hashem wanted them to go through it so that they can be atoned for. And knowing the end is so beneficial, it wouldn't have been difficult enough to accomplish that end. Right? The kapara, the atonement that the Jewish people had to get, would not have been accomplished. It wouldn't be fulfilled. They wouldn't have gone through the necessary difficulty and challenge if they would know. V'im yodea zman haketz lo nargish klaus hagalus umariro seha. And it's bitterness. We know that word from maror. Anyone who's in my daily halacha, in the daily halacha WhatsApp, so you know I talked about maror this week. I don't know if anybody here is on it, but we went through the different opinions. What is maror? Lettuce, not lettuce. Horseradish, not horseradish. We went through the whole thing in a few minutes. Says the Sfas Emes, the Jewish people had to feel the maror. They had to feel the bitterness in order for it to do its magic, to give them the kapara they needed. And if they would have known the end, if they would have been able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, then they wouldn't have had that necessary feeling. And therefore, Hashem had to stop it. Right, Hashem had to be so tame as Enaf. He had to close off his vision from the Ruach HaKodesh that he got. There is an interesting idea. I said this over last year, I think, in one of my classes on Parshas Vayechi. Actually, on Parshas Vayishlach, maybe. About Ephraim and Menashe. What's the difference between Ephraim and Menashe? Just a quick review of that. Not that we're going to really go through it here, but I think there's a lot of positive psychology involved in this idea. So I always want to remind people of it. That when Yosef comes in front of Yaakov, right, he brings Ephraim and Menashe, right? As we know, Ephraim and Menashe. Menashe is the Bechor, so he goes to the right of Yaakov, and Ephraim is the younger one, so he goes to the left of Yaakov, and as we know, Yaakov switches the hand. So what's going on here? What's the whole riddle? Why are we playing these games? So says the Chidush Arim, the direct student of Reb Simcha Banim, so he says that they're arguing about Sor Meira and Asei Tov. The question is, do you have to get rid of your mistakes in order to start doing good? Or can you just start doing good? And this, by the way, I think is embedded within the or was in some ways at the core of the original disagreement between Hasidus and Mitznagdim, meaning that when Hasidim came along, they said you don't have to feel so bad about yourself, you don't have to torture yourself to get everything so exact, just be joyful in your Yiddishkeit, and there was a lack of seriousness there, and I think there's something to this, but Yaakov Avinu was trying to teach Yosef. Yosef said, you know, he said to his father, you know, put the emphasis on Menashe. He's the one who's the Bechor. He should get the bracha. But what is Menashe? What does the name Menashe come from? Ki Nashani Elokim. What is it? Mikol Amali, maybe, I think the pasuk says. Is that what the pasuk is? Nashani Elokim es kol Amali. Hashem has taken away or removed all of my difficulty, all of my pain. That's Sor Meira. He has removed the difficulty. On the other hand, what is Ephraim? Hifrani Elokim be'eretz anyi. Hashem has, you know, made me fruitful in the land. That's a positive thing. That's an aseh tov. So while Yosef comes in front of Yaakov and says, Dad, focus on Menashe. Menashe comes first. He is the one that's going to take away all the difficulties in Mitzrayim. Says Yaakov Avinu, it's true. There are going to be difficulties in Mitzrayim. But we have to emphasize the aseh tov. We can't always focus on the difficulties and getting rid of our weaknesses. We have to prop up our strengths. We have to make sure we're working from what we call in psychology, strengths perspectives, right? Make sure you focus on what you're good at instead of focusing on what you're bad at. I think I've talked about the book called Switch by the Heath Brothers. And in the beginning of the book, he talks about how to really, you know, how do you really make change? And he goes through different strategies. But one of the first things he talks about is to look for the bright spots, right? Whenever somebody approaches a problem, the instinct is, how do we get rid of this bad thing, right? We have this problem. How do we get rid of the problem? Instead, say the Heath Brothers, that when you look at the problem, look for someone who doesn't have the problem. Look for someone who's not struggling with that and see what it is that they're doing. Look for the bright spot instead of looking for the dark spot. We always want to target the problem, and sometimes the way to attack it, the way to approach it, is to look at the strengths. So here, I think Yaakov Avinu, according to the Chiddush Arim, is making the same point. Don't focus on Menashe, but focus on Ephraim. Both are obviously important, but in terms of overcoming a sort of a rut that a person could be in, you have to kind of focus on the strength sometimes to bring a little positivity, especially in our generation. Maybe in previous generations, it was easier to sort of focus on, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you know, tough it out, you know, do a little better or don't do bad. But nowadays, positive psychology goes a long way. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but not for now. Yaakov Avinu says in one of his brachos that he was successful in taking, Shechem? I'm giving you Shechem, which I got, Asher lakachti miyad ha'emari b'charbi uvekashti, with my sword and my bow. Right? Rashi says, what does Rashi say over there? B'chachmasi u'tfilasi, with my Torah and with my davening. I remember Rav Yitzchak Cohen I think he has mishpacha here in Detroit. And Rav Yitzchak Cohen, who's a Rebbe at YU, Rashi at YU, very eccentric and very sort of animated speaker. So he once said, he said this, I don't know if it's true, but he said that he once went to an airport, and maybe he was on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and the security guard asked them, do you have any weapons in your bag? And he says, yes, I do have a weapon. I have a sitter in my bag. That's how he used to say it. And he used to sort of motivate us that mamish, like your sitter, could be a weapon. But either way, says the Sakhet Shavar, I read it from the Kutzker Rebbe. Either way, it's in the Pshischa world. So he says, Madua Nimshla Hatfila Keshes. Why is it that davening is like a bow and arrow? Why is Bekashti, according to Rashi, why is that you're davening? So Ma Keshes says the Sakhet Shavar, Kol Kama Shadorchim Osa Yoser Kain Hi Yore. The more you pull it back, the further it's going to go. right? If you pull back a little bit, it'll go a little bit, but it won't go really far. If you want it to really make a difference, you have to pull it back really far. Says Gadol Achetz Bokeas Ha'avir V'Haholich L'Merachakim Gam Kach Gam HaTvila. So too it is with davening. Shasha Nefesh Adam Misatefes Olav. When a person is really involved in davening, Kol Kama Shelibo Nilchatz Yoser V'Nidchak Mata Mata. Any time a person goes further and further into their davening, Kein Tifrels V'Tishpech. Right. Sometimes we think that davening is a binary thing. If you daven for it, it'll work. If you don't daven for it, it won't work. But the truth is, the quality matters too. It's not just about whether you do it or you don't do it, but the whether how you do it. Are you really davening? You're really putting your heart into it. You're putting your intentions into it. Are you really working hard? Says the second chapter. That's why davening is like a keshes. That's why davening is like a bow. Because in order for the arrow to make a difference, you have to be willing to pull it back further and further. The further you pull it back, the more of a difference it's going to make. Now let me just check if I have one other thing here. I have one book here. This is, I know people know this kind of safer. This is a Kol Simcha. This is Rav Simcha Bunim's commentary on Torah. It's really a compilation. But the reason I bring it up is because you can make these by yourself. I don't know if people know these. There are free PDFs of Svarim online. And through HebrewBooks.org, you can actually just make a sefer through Amazon. And they'll make it for you. This was like $7. Just go on HebrewBooks.org and you can order it. So it has an option. Order it online. So if there's any like an out-of-print book, some like old kind of thing. So you can always just go online. Maybe, David, have we talked about this before? I feel like David and I have talked about this. At least online, you can get these old books. So this is Rav Simcha Bunim's Sefer on Torah. I don't know who put it together. It says he put it together, but I don't know if he did. Either way, so he says in the end of the Parsha tells us that the brothers come to Yosef and they say, you know, Dad said, don't take revenge on us, right? Unclear what exactly what they meant by that, because we never found any time that Yaakov actually said that, right? The Gemara in Yevamo said that they were lying, but it's not clear what they were lying about. Were they lying that Yaakov said that, or were they lying that that he said not to take revenge? So it's unclear what they lied about. So therefore, it also creates a machlokas rishonim, whether Yaakov ever knew that what the brothers did to Yosef. Either way, Rav Simcha Bunim says that at the end of the parsha, they say, "V'yata sana lefesha avdi," that please sort of remove the difficulty or remove the iniquity, remove the sin of the servants of Hashem, meaning us. Says Rav Simcha Bunim, what are they talking about? All of a sudden, avdei Hashem. Abdel Okay Abicha. So he says, Venira, Kiko Machlokas Hashvatim Yosef, Shechashchu, Shekemo Mishemizera Avram Yitzchak Nivchar Chelik Echad Lashem. Just like with Avram and Yitzchak, there were always a choice between sons, and each one of them chose one of the sons. Asher Bachel is Gulasov, Vigam Yatza Mihem Shar Umos Shehem Psulos. Right, there were some that were good, some that were no good. Kimochein chashvu bir osam shiakov havas Yosef. They thought the same thing was happening again with Yosef, and therefore mikol banav chashvu gamkin she Yosef nivchar lechalik Hashem. And they thought that Yosef was therefore being chosen to be the ongoing, the continuation of the Jewish people. Vehem yidchu chas v'shalom, and they are going to be the ones that are going to be the Yishmael in the situation. They're going to be the Esav of the situation. The other brothers thought that was what's going to happen. Ad bir osam sheyakov avinu lav v'shalom levnei moso chilek lehem habrachos. Until all of a sudden, Yaakov didn't just give a bracha to Yosef. Yaakov gave a bracha to every single child. In which case, kim lefi madrigaso azro shekulam nivchru l'Hashem. Each one of them, in their own way, not in the same way, but in their own way, they were all going to be chosen in some way by Yaakov to do something for Hashem. V'yal pizeh yuvan ha-pasak hetev shemikodem armustam, sa'na lefesha. Okay, good. Sa'na lefesha echicha kira gmalucha, kira oi He's talking about different things. Now you shouldn't hold a grudge over us. That's what it means when he says you should remove the iniquity because we're also avdei elokei avicha. We're also going to be ovdei Hashem. We thought that maybe we wouldn't be able to be ovdei Hashem. But now that we realize Yaakov gave all of us a bracha, now we say you should remove the iniquity because we're also Avdei Elokei Avicha. V'zev ayevk Yosef b'dabram elav shegam hu chashav kein. That's what it means when Yosef started to cry. In response, Yosef cried as if to say that that is what I've always thought, that we're all going to be Ovdei Hashem. And therefore, it was just one big misunderstanding. Obviously, what exactly that means is a bit of a dramatization, exaggeration of the idea. But I think what's important is that a lot of times in life, we think that in order to be successful, we have to be the best, better than everybody else. And the truth is, it's not a competition, and there's not only one spot at the top of the hill. Especially when it comes to Yiddishkeit, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, there's no one person that's greater than anybody else. Every single person, just like the Shvatim, has their own bracha that's being given over to them for them in their own Avodas Hashem. And we should never think that if we're not chosen for this or we don't do this the best, that means that we're not Ovdei Hashem. We're all Ovdei Elokei Avicha. The question is just, what is our Avoda? Everyone has a certain voda, and we spend our whole lives trying to discern and to hone in on what it is that our voda is meant to be. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful holiday. Tomorrow morning we have an early minyan at 6:40, a regular minyan at 8:00, part two of our American Jewish athletes class. Tomorrow we'll talk about Hank Greenberg and Sandy Koufax, and what revolved over those very dramatic decisions, as we'll talk about tomorrow. That's at 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock, we have Daf Yomi.
There's other 19 letters at 7:10.
Is there? Okay, 19 letters at 7:10, as usual, like our Sunday schedule. Everyone should have a wonderful rest of 2020, and Amir Tashem, 2021 should just keep going up and up, lamala, lamala. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It should continue in that direction. Thank you, Saul. Thank you, David. Good to see you. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.